You see them represented with idols, and the idol is representing a disembodied guide. This is usually someone who has been
Sai Baba.
But these idols are usually representing someone who lived, and they're supposed to have reached that higher plane, and now they've gone on and they're disembodied spirits. Then there are the gurus who are still alive, and then when they die, they'll be worshipped like an idol. But the gurus are believed to be gods on earth. And the Beatles, at least two or three of them, got really caught up in Hare Krishna was one of the religions they followed, but there was a living guru named Maharaji Mahesh Yogi. And they believed, for a while at least, that he was a god on earth. I mean, you're talking about some weird stuff. And then, of course, they just worship nature. And I like to go out in nature. That's my church. And that's where the tree hugger thing came from, by the way. And they're literally trying to become one with nature. So again, the reality, any of this look familiar? The Dalai Lama. I believe deeply that we must find all of us together a new spirituality. This new concept ought to be elaborated alongside the religions in such a way that all people of goodwill could adhere to it. That's what the Antichrist will say. That's Antichrist. Well, quote, I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. I've been to Shinto shrines and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere. Norman Vincent Peale. I'll tell you, Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral and a bunch of those other guys are into that stuff. And they would say the name of Jesus and talk about salvation and even refer to the cross. But when you listen to what they meant by those words, they didn't mean what you and I mean. This is Rick Springfield, who said he wished he had Jesse's girl. Quote, I was raised a Christian, but have looked at other religions, some of the Eastern things. I was into Taoism for a while and Confucianism. Just different approaches, and some have really stayed with me. End quote. I'd say that's probably the view that most of the people you see in television, movies, and entertainment in general, and the news media and all of them. If you ask them what they believe, that's what they believe. For my ally is the force, and powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. End quote. That's Yoda. And he's expressing the views of George Lucas, who is behind Star Wars. He calls himself a Methodist Buddhist. Well, how about Albert Einstein? George took some of these quotes from people like Einstein. Einstein said, quote, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics, end quote. That's what's behind Eastern mysticism and what's behind word faith, Christianity, Christian Science, Scientology, you know, the New Age movement in general. They're all teaching this. That basically, if you put off a certain energy, which includes the confession you make and your attitude, it sends out a vibe or an energy, and it will come back to you, and you can actually create your own reality. I was introduced to this concept as a Cincinnati Reds fan. One of my favorite players was a guy named Dave Collins, and he had a good streak for a year or two there, hitting like Pete Rose, and everybody thought he might be the next, Charlie Hustle and everything. And so he was being interviewed after the game one day. And they said, what's your secret? And he says, I visualize before the game, and every game, what I visualize, I can make come true. I'm thinking, no, I think he actually keeps his eye on the ball and hits it. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing going on with Walt Disney and Disney World and everything, The reality is that Walt Disney was an apostate. He was raised as a Congregationalist. But you'll notice in Walt Disney, they don't have churches. Go to Disneyland or Disney World on Main Street, and all the they never have a church. Look at his movies, they don't have churches. And Walt Disney was a Freemason, and he had the idea of all being equal. God is whatever you want him to be, whatever you make him to be. He never attended church himself or anything like that. So he sowed the seeds that you're now seeing take place in Disney. And Albert Einstein sowed the seeds in what you're seeing in science today. Here's the Buddha. The mind is everything. What you think, you become. That's just what Einstein said in a nutshell. Yeah. Jim?
Kim and I were in a business for a number of years, and we read a lot of self-help books, like Norman Vincent Peale and
Zig Ziglar.
Zig Ziglar, Dale Carnegie, you name it. Right. And a lot of it is positive confessions. And I don't think there's anything wrong. I'd rather be around positive people than negative people. But still, that does run into a funny area when you just think that, well, if I say negative stuff's going to happen. And if I say, well, that's a slippery slope.
And it's also imbalanced. And that was what Zig Ziglar was my favorite author, that genre. But the thing was, it was just there were times where I thought, you know, you can't ignore the bad. You can't, you know, you need to recognize the bad that you, so you can avoid it if nothing else.
Yeah.
And if all you do is think, it's like, you know, Christian radio today. They think it's they think they're saying something good when they say nothing but positive hits. Why not a song about hell every once in a while? You know. Why not a song about some dirty, rotten sinner who got saved, you know? Why not songs like the hymns, you know? Don't have to sound like the hymns, all right? You want to listen to that stuff. But even the lyrics. And God isn't 100% positive all the time. God's balanced, positive and negative. So, yeah, it sounds good. When I first became a Christian, I had people trying to influence me in that direction. And it just, I read the Bible, I'm thinking, that's not how God talks. That's not his, you know. John Maxwell is another one. You know, he's got some good things to say if you're looking for leadership skills and all that. But these guys just get stuck in a rut of positivity. Kenneth Copeland, you know, the guy who said, "You don't have a God in you; you are one." End quote. That's a direct quote from him. Here's his tweet. This was a few years ago, but it still applies. Quote, "Do you need a car? Today, make the decision to take that car by faith. Say, thank you, Lord, for my car. Lord, I see myself in that car. Thank you, God. I believe I've received it and I have it. I take it by faith today."
And the police will be right after you.
That's called Grand Theft Auto, isn't it? That's how these guys get it. You know, people don't scrutinize what they say because they sound so dramatic and convincing. Watermelon. Nothing in the world like watermelon. Don't you want a watermelon right now? Somebody go get a watermelon. And somebody take off and run and get one. That's how convincing they are. Seed faith, that's right. Here's when you're tempted to take revenge, then you remember that karma is watching. There's all kinds of memes like that out there. You see it all the time. Karma is not watching. Karma is not it's a force and energy, and it has everything to do with your past life and so forth. We already explained that. Of course, there's Luke. May the force be with you. That's all from the Eastern mystic idea. This Eastern invasion is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in preparation for the beast system. That's the important thing to understand right now. This Eastern religion. We're going to trace. I mentioned the polytheistic thing, and Jessica, you mentioned you asked pantheism. Pantheism is the idea, like I said a few moments ago, that everything is a part of the God force. that everything in the universe, whether it's, we might say it as good or bad or whatever, but it all just works together, the yin and the yang and all that. And it's just, so when you die, you just are buried and you go back to being part of the universe, you know. And I'm telling you that you, a lot more people than you think believe that. So let's trace the polytheistic pantheism of Eastern mysticism from Eden to the return of Christ. All right. The original departure from monotheism was the deification of men as gods. And we don't have time to get into that, but I believe it originated with the giants of Genesis 6. And after that, these super giant human-like hybrids became deified, and that then was passed down to all the mythological characters that we see and hear about. It's the foundation of pantheism. So beginning in Genesis 3, 1 to 5, John Albaugh, take that microphone, hold it real close, and read verses 1 through 5, Genesis 3.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now look at that. It's not a promise that any one person can become God, but that all can become gods.
Yep.
And that is the exact promise made in all of these Eastern religions. That you can reach that enlightenment to be a god. Men can say, I am God, because they see themselves as a God among gods in the midst of the all. It goes back to, a lot of you might have seen, Shirley MacLaine, and Out on a Limb was the name of the TV movie or whatever, and she's on the beach, and she's saying, I am God, and telling some other guy to stand there to say the same thing. See? It's not that she was the God, but everybody can become a god. I remember Frank Peretti. You remember Frank Peretti, the author, Christian author? And he was given a lecture one day, and he was talking about, and he said, you know, it's like God's up there and looking down on Shirley, and to God it sounds like, I am God.
Yeah.
I am God. You know, and God could just go, but he's gracious and merciful. A polytheistic pantheist would never claim to worship any one true God. And that's why when you witness to these people, they just can't even think in terms of what you believe when you say you believe in God. They do not have the concept of a God who is the one God, creator of all, and who is personable. Their idea of God is simply energy. Johnny?
So I think I figured out that it sounds like the practical upshot of this, of Eastern religions in that sense, then should be anarchy. Because it sounds like they can't be, by claiming to be gods, it's not power, because they're just the same as before.
Well, it's the collective.
It's what, the idea?
It's not anarchy, but it's the collective. And you'll hear them use that terminology.
But it seems like they're doing it in order to say that since I'm God, you know, right and wrong is whatever I think it should be.
That's true.
Every single person thinks that, then it's going to conflict.
Yeah, it's what's going on in this country, that the idea that our diversity is our strength. And no, it has always been our unity that's been our strength. The assimilation of immigrants into this country, and even though we may be Roman Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, or whatever, independent, but we all had a shared belief in the God of the Bible. Even though from that point some people went way off, you know, But we all agreed that the God of the Bible was God, and that the Bible was the authority. Even Ben Franklin and some of these guys who rejected the new birth and rejected the deity of Christ said that the Bible has to be the foundation of our country. Our laws were written based on biblical documents like the Blackstone legal commentary and the Magna Carta and all these things. They were biblically based. And so now America is being torn to pieces by diversity. Now, Abraham's family were the original Chaldeans that held prevalence in Babylon. I believe that when all is said and done, we're going to find out that those Chaldeans that countered Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I believe they were descendants of Abraham's family. Let's look at it. Genesis 11, 26 through 28. Who's reading that? Stephen?
And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans.
Ur of the Chaldees. That's Chaldean.
Yeah.
And so you have Abraham coming out from among them. And God chose Abraham and Lot, Haran's son, who's Abram's, at this time Abram, who became Abraham, it's his nephew, came out with him. But he all got all messed up and his daughters had his babies and gave us the Ammonites and the Moabites. So Abraham comes out and becomes the monotheistic father of faith. But his family remained in Chaldea and became Chaldeans, which became that group in Babylon. And Abraham was Laban's great uncle. He was the son of Nahor, Laban was, and the brother of Rebekah, the wife of Isaac. Now that's interesting because we come down a little later and the Bible is clear that Terah and the Chaldeans were Eastern mystical polytheistic pantheists. So Abraham's father, uncle, and other relatives worshipped idols, plural. They were pantheistic, and that's what became the Chaldeans in Babylon. In Joshua, you'll see later in Joshua 24:2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods, plural. So when you wonder, how did those Chinese and Japanese and all the Asians over there get into all these Eastern mystic, polytheistic, pantheist? That's where it started. We're seeing in the Bible gives us the historical background to what we see today in all those countries. Abraham's family in Ur remained polytheistic pantheists according to the Bible. Who's next? Jessica's going to read Genesis 31. 25 through 30.
Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do. You hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my goods?
No. What's that last word?
Gods.
Uh-huh. See?
Stolen my gods.
Now think about that. People ask, he recognized Jacob had a god, but he thinks that Jacob's god is just one of many. And he's got his gods, Jacob's got his god, and... And you stole my God. Those are some gods, aren't they? Aren't you glad your God can't be stolen? And Laban was Abraham's great nephew. But he was still back there in Chaldea. The Chaldeans were pantheistic, polytheistic. And I already said that. So the Eastern mystical pantheistic pantheism of the Chaldees and Ur remained with Abraham's great nieces, who's in Genesis 35, 1 through 5. Johnny? Okay. Now, I'll remind you before you read it, that what we're showing you is that all this Eastern mysticism, all these different religions, the New Age movement, everything, there it is. Ain't nothing new about it. Go ahead, Johnny.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
Who's carrying all these gods? Rachel? Yeah. Leah?
Yeah.
Bilhah. I'm sure the midwives or the concubines had them just as much. What was the other one's name? Bilhah and Bilhah was one.
No.
Zilpah. That sounds right.
Yeah, Bilhah.
Zilpah. All right. But they all came from the Chaldees, and they all had their gods.
Yeah.
This commitment to monotheism that we're seeing there in Genesis 35, Jacob's committing to monotheism. And it lasted until the time of the judges. And we read that in the previous. Idolatry is the visual, how many of you heard this? Aid to worship. That expresses Eastern mystical polytheistic pantheism in its forms. Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19. Is that Dan? Go ahead.
Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
You see, they're worshiping idols that they make, they make idols looking like animals, the moon, the sun, everything. It's pantheistic. They're just worshiping nature, and they just make as many idols as they want of everything they see. And God's warning wasn't about monotheistic idolatry, which is the concept a lot of people think, that like he had one God, and it was of this pantheistic polytheism that is rampant today. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and here you have Moses, under Moses' law, they're being warned. Paul described the progression from monotheism to polytheistic pantheism that we saw in Sodom and in our day. We're going to skip now to Paul, but I mean, as you go through your Old Testament, you read, you'll see over and over this multiple gods thing, and just keep in mind that they didn't have any limits.